I'm Tracy Sable tonight on EWTN News Nightly, hitting the road. In the final days before the election, former President Trump and Vice President Harris are reaching out to Latino voters.
If you win, it is entirely possible that Congress will be controlled by Republicans. So what specific concessions would you be willing to make in order to get something done on abortion access as soon as possible? What concessions would be on the table? Religious exemptions, for example, is that something that you would consider?
I don't think we should be making concessions when we're talking about a fundamental freedom to make decisions about your own body.
Avoiding the question, we discuss the vice president's pro-abortion stance, meeting the Pope, why the U.S. Secretary of Defense had an audience with the Holy Father at the Vatican, and shoot for the stars. A Virginia Catholic school receives a high honor from NASA. We'll explain these stories and more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
Thank you for being with us on the Feast of St. John of Capistrano. Our top story tonight, pro-life groups worry about new comments from Vice President Kamala Harris on abortion. The vice president told another network that she is against making concessions and religious exemptions. The news comes in the midst of a last-minute push by both sides to attract voters leading up to the election. White House correspondent Owen Jensen reports.
Tracy, Vice President Kamala Harris was specifically asked about abortion and whether she'd consider concessions and religious exemptions if Republicans control Congress. Her answer drew an immediate rebuke from SBA Pro-Life America.
Vice President Kamala Harris returns to the campaign trail, traveling to the Philadelphia area to participate in a CNN televised town hall. But it's her comments on another network that raised concern. Harris told NBC, when it comes to abortion, quote, I don't think we should be making concessions when we're talking about a fundamental freedom to make decisions about your own body. SBA Pro-Life America responded on social media writing, Kamala Harris promises freedom, but then pledges to federally steamroll Americans into taking part in abortions against their will, adding she believes docs must perform them, taxpayers must pay for them for any reason in all 50 states, no exceptions. On Friday, the vice president planning a stop in Houston, Texas, which her campaign calls ground zero of Trump's extreme abortion bans. Meanwhile, Harris also released a video with one of her supporters, billionaire Mark Cuban, where they both took swipes at former President Donald Trump's economic policies.
To talk about such significant policy like tariffs, much less foreign policy.
He doesn't realize the impact, but literally he is going to put who knows how many small businesses out of business.
He is applying a machete when a scalpel is what's necessary.
These United States, we're the ones.
And out west, the battle to win votes in Nevada. Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance speaks to supporters in Las Vegas.
On day one, she'll say, we're going to tackle border security. And anybody with a lick of common sense is saying, Kamala, day one was 1,400 days ago. What the hell have you been doing the whole time? Stop talking about doing your job and go and do your job.
And at Christ Chapel in Zebulon, Georgia, former President Trump delivers remarks at a Believers and Ballots Faith town hall.
And then, you know, there's persecution going on. And especially, I don't know if you've heard, with Catholics. I don't know what's going on with Catholics. Why are they after Catholics?
Also tonight, 13 days until November 5th. And listen to these numbers. More than 19 million ballots have already been cast, early voting breaking records in some places. At the White House, Owen Jensen, EWTN News Nightly.
Well, thank you, Owen, for that report. And we would like to take the time now to discuss a segment on last night's show and to offer our sincere apology to our viewers for the lack of context and pushback in the interview. On last night's broadcast, we interviewed a Democratic strategist on Vice President Kamala Harris's campaign push to appeal to pro-life voters with the help of Republican Liz Cheney. The former Wyoming congresswoman attacked state-level protections for life and placed her support behind the most pro-abortion candidate in American history.
I think there are many of us around the country who have been pro-life, but who have watched what's going on in our states since the Dobbs decision and have watched state legislatures put in place laws that are resulting in women not getting the care they need.
Now, repeating a common talking point for many Democrats, Cheney says the Dobbs decision, which overturned Roe versus Wade, has resulted in laws where women are not getting the care they need. And while we were remiss for failing to interject more clarity into the comments made by former lawmaker Cheney and our guest, we'd like to do that now with Marjorie Dannenfelser. She is the president of Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America. Marjorie, always great to be with you. We really appreciate it. I know while you then gave Representative Liz Cheney an A grade when she was in office, what kind of grade would you give her now?
Yeah, I would give her an F without question. There's so much to unpack in the story that you have told very well. First, there are fundamentals. Either it's a baby or not a baby. We're not talking about an appendectomy. She used to say, Cheney did, that this was about the 14th Amendment. It's either that or it's not that. And now she's saying it goes too far. And why is that? Because she's for Kamala Harris, who she used to vociferously oppose, who now, as you've reported very beautifully, has said that she not only thinks that this is a matter of fundamental freedom, but for those who oppose her view, Kamala's view, and now Cheney's view, apparently, that she would force Catholic doctors, Catholic hospitals, medical students who are just trying to get their medical degree, who don't agree with this, that they would be forced to train. So there's no conscience protections. There's no acknowledgement that there is even another opinion, which is a very far cry from where America is. And I think there'll be a backlash.
Yeah. And Marjorie, last night, the woman we had on, Kristen Hahn, the Democratic strategist, she said the following responding to Vice President Harris's pro-abortion record. Let's take a listen to it.
What you're seeing the effect of some of these stringent laws is that they're not pro-life at all because they endanger the life of women.
All right, Marjorie, what would you say to that?
It just takes your breath away. Because, of course, in every pregnancy, there are two lives that must be saved. And every law across the country that is passed, there is always, always, without exception, a remedy to miscarriage. There is a remedy to there is a life of the mother problem, if her health, if her life is on the line, there is always an ability for a doctor to come in and give her everything that she needs. The idea that the other side has put in the minds of America and also in the minds of hospital executives across the country is that somehow in miscarriage care, they're violating laws. 100% wrong. And it has been what that very irresponsible consultant said and what is being perpetrated across the country among associations of doctors even that are responsible is that for political reasons, they're putting across this idea that somehow women won't get care. It is absolutely wrong. It's a lie. And it is completely for political purposes. It has nothing to do, once again, with the actual health and welfare of women. It has everything to do with the institution of abortion, which is as inhumane as a capital punishment and any other death-dealing murder in our country.
Yeah, and as we know, abortion is not health care. In an interview with NBC's Hallie Jackson, the vice president once again reiterated her no-exemption stance on abortion. Here's a comment from her. Let's take a listen to that.
If you win, it is entirely possible that Congress will be controlled by Republicans. So what specific concessions would you be willing to make in order to get something done on abortion access as soon as possible? What concessions would be on the table? Religious exemptions, for example, is that something that you would consider?
I don't think we should be making concessions when we're talking about a fundamental freedom to make decisions about your own body.
All right, Marjorie, how is this message something that pro-life individuals or the Republicans being courted by the Harris campaign, how can they sign on to that?
Well, if anyone ever doubted what the Harris and the senators running with her, what their position was, and the House members and all across the country, governors, that are running, if they ever doubted what her position was, she just clarified there. It is a, quote, fundamental right that has absolutely no limits. It doesn't matter about parents if you're young. It doesn't matter if you have informed consent. It's exactly the equivalent of a tonsillectomy, an appendectomy. We know, and most of America knows, that it's not that simple. Otherwise, would we be having this conversation? Would there be a pro-life movement? Obviously not. So this is where all of our candidates should be drawing the line. It's where President Trump should be pointing out that people of good conscience, whether they have religious convictions or not, should be allowed to live in this country freely and live under the same First Amendment that others do, and not be forced to kill when they believe that they are that they were living in a country that provided freedom, that they would be able to just practice their profession without such a mandate.
Yeah, and Vice President Harris obviously still in the Biden administration. And on Monday, just released a proposal for a rule from the federal health department requiring all contraception, as we know, including abortion-causing drugs, to be covered by health insurance companies. With a record on religious freedom, do you think Catholic groups will be protected from this?
No, absolutely not. I think this is a moment where, because of all of the doublespeak that's going on that you just revealed there, that we need to go back to the fundamentals. And when we're not there, that's when people lose faith in politics. The fundamentals are very, very clear. She is for abortion on demand without apology, with 100% funding from all of us, all across the country, wherever you live. And if she wins, that will be mandated on the country. If she has the House and the Senate and the presidency, there will be a law that passes that wipes out every pro-life protection in the country. The mandate of payment for abortion drugs will eliminate any of these controversies about abortion drugs moving from state to state. She will simplify the law by making abortion on demand up until the end a mandate in the rest of the country. And that is not the sort of evil simplicity that we're about in this country.
Marjorie, thank you for coming on and explaining all this to us. We really appreciate it. Always good to be with you. God bless you.
Thank you. Same to you.
All right, one final note. EWTN affirms the dignity and sanctity of life at all stages, from conception until natural death. And here at EWTN News Nightly and EWTN News, we want our viewers to know that we are committed to that mission and encouraging all people to vote for life. And we cannot, nor do we, endorse any specific political party. Our job is to inform the consciences of our viewers with a Catholic understanding of life. And we will continue to do so and shine the light on the truth about abortion. All right, in other news, in the home stretch before the election, both Vice President Harris and former President Trump are targeting Latino voters. The former president held a summit yesterday in Miami with Hispanic leaders. Elected officials and business leaders who are Latino praised the economy during Trump's administration, thanking him specifically for tax cuts that he signed back in 2017. This comes as the vice president conducted an interview with Spanish language television network Telemundo. She says that she wants to bring more funds to community banks to help Latino men secure small business loans. Harris also says that we need a strong economy that supports the working class. One Hispanic leader weighed in on the importance of the Latino vote.
The Latino vote's going to decide who wins the presidency and what party controls both the Senate and the House of Representatives. Is an incredible key swing, determinative vote in key swing states like Arizona and Nevada, but also a critical swing vote in the other five battleground states. We anticipate as many as 17, 18 million plus Latino voters will vote around the country, and that vote is going to continue to exponentially rise in the coming year. So the Latino vote has truly come of age and is a major factor in the upcoming election.
In less than 2 weeks, voters will elect a new president and decide control of the U.S. House and the Senate. In the Senate, Republican challengers are eager to flip several Democrat-held seats with only a 51-49 majority. Democrats cannot afford to lose any seats. Capitol Hill correspondent Eric Rosales joins us now in the studio with a look at a pair of states the Republicans have their eye on that could decide who controls the Senate. Eric.
And good evening, Tracy. Continuing our look at the number of states that will ultimately determine control of the U.S. Senate, they include states like Arizona, Nevada, Montana, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Texas, and Ohio. But we want to concentrate tonight on the states of Wisconsin and Michigan. Take a look at the Badger State. Incumbent and Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin is going against a tough challenger, Republican businessman Eric Hovde. Baldwin is currently running for her third term, and now in 2018, she was reelected by a 10-point margin, but that is certainly not the case today. She currently holds only a 1-point lead based on some 62 polls, 48-47. In that race, abortion is an issue that's front and center.
am the leader in the fight to restore Roe v. Wade. It's through a bill that I lead called the Women's Health Protection Act. That bill would codify Roe v. Wade at the federal level.
Hovde ran unsuccessfully for Senate in Wisconsin in 2012. He previously said that he was 100% pro-life before changing his position to include support with some exceptions.
Life is a wonderful thing. And I agree that there should be exceptions for rape, incest, and the health of the mother. And I agree that early on in a woman's pregnancy, she should have a right to choose.
Now let's move to the neighboring state, Michigan, with the retirement of Democratic Senator Debbie Stabenow. Republicans see it as an opportunity to be able to pick up a seat, something they haven't been able to do since 1972. Current Congresswoman Alyssa Slotkin is in a fight against Republican challenger, former Congressman Mike Rogers. That race is so tight right now, considerably. 48-44. Outside groups are pouring millions of dollars into this race. National security and the economy are two major issues for that state.
$1,000 a month per Michigan family because of the policies of Biden, Harris, and Alyssa Slotkin. We must win this election. This is the year.
It's attacking the primary costs that are just burning a hole in people's pockets. Healthcare, prescription drugs. We finally allowed Medicare to negotiate drug prices. You've got to bring down costs like housing, childcare.
If Republicans are able to flip either of these seats, they pretty much will have a lock on the U.S. Senate. But a lot can happen between now and November 5th. Tracy, back to you.
Okay, thank you so much, Eric. Well, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken tells reporters in Tel Aviv that an incredible opportunity remains for Israel to normalize ties with its neighbors. Take a listen to this.
But more broadly, there remains, despite everything that's happened, an incredible opportunity in this region to move in a totally different direction, one that actually provides in a durable way for Israel's security, for its place in the region, a country that's integrated, working with its Arab partners, accepted by them, isolating Iran and those who are trying to disrupt and destroy people's lives.
Blinken made the remarks before departing for Saudi Arabia. He says the kingdom could play a central role in the shift. Turning now to Lebanon, where earlier today, Israeli jets struck multiple buildings. You're looking at the city of Tyre, where people there were warned to evacuate about 2 hours before the strikes. Another strike left three people dead. And we have a lot more still to come here on EWTN News Nightly, including special guest at the Vatican. Pope Francis meets with a top U.S. official. We have the story. And a major fine for a well-known airline for violating disability regulations. We have more on that. Welcome back now to Mexico, where tributes are pouring in for a priest who was murdered after celebrating Mass. People in the community say Father Marcelo Perez was, quote, a tireless apostle of peace. He recently revealed that he believed a bounty had been put on his head amid efforts to protect young people. The Mexican Bishops' Conference calls the killing, quote, a brutal murder and calls for an end to violence. Father Perez was 50 years old. Now to Turkey, where five people are dead after a terror attack on a defense company. Local reports say that an explosion and gunshots were heard at the facility. You're looking at footage right here from that scene. Several attackers opened fire. The facility staff was directed to shelter. So far, no group has claimed responsibility for the attack. However, security officials believe Kurdish militants are responsible. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin says North Korea has deployed troops to Russia for training.
We are seeing evidence that there are North Korean troops that have gone to Africa. Now, but Russia. What exactly they're doing, left to be seen.
It comes as North Korea and Russia have forged increasingly friendly ties since Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Moscow and Pyongyang deny that troops have been deployed. The U.S. does not believe North Korean troops have reached Ukraine. Secretary Austin also made a visit to the Vatican and met with Pope Francis. Austin, a Catholic, had attended the canonization mass on Sunday before traveling back to Rome and meeting with the Holy Father. Pope Francis received the secretary in a private audience where the two exchanged gifts. Well, the U.S. Transportation Department is fining American Airlines a whopping $50 million. This comes amid charges that the airplane giant failed to provide wheelchair assistance to passengers and also damaged thousands of wheelchairs over a five-year period. The Texas-based company will only pay about half the fine after improving wheelchair handling and compensating affected passengers. Up next on EWTN News Nightly, Ancient Advice. A new book says writings from a 13th century saint might make our lives easier. Plus, a Catholic school chosen by NASA. We'll explain. Pope Francis has a suggestion for married couples when they need help. They should turn to the Holy Spirit.
Quando gli sposi si sono decisi a invocarlo.
During his weekly talk at the Vatican, Pope Francis says the Holy Spirit will protect spouses and children, adding that when the Holy Spirit enters, the ability for self-giving is reborn. For this reason, the Holy Spirit can be a central part of every family. Well, a new book says that it has the answer for those who feel that life is harder than it needs to be. In Super Habits from Sophia Press, Dr. Andrew Abella lays out a specific set of instructions for making decisions, managing our emotions, and dealing with other people. Dr. Abella says that he will equip readers with the tools to embrace a life of greater ease, joy, and strength. Some of his advice is based on research on ancient civilizations and includes tips from the writings of St. Thomas Aquinas. And Dr. Andrew Abella joins us now. He is the author of Super Habits and a dean and professor of marketing at the Catholic University of America Bush School of Business. Dr. Abella, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure to be here.
So congratulations on the new book. And tell us, what are super habits?
So super habits are virtues. But I find that so many people, when they hear the word virtue, either just think, oh, I know all about virtue, or they think, if they're not religious, oh, that's just a religious thing. And so I want to remind people that virtues are actually habits that anybody can practice, can acquire just by regular practice, but a very special kind of habit, hence the super habit. So.
Yeah, and what inspired you to write this book, and why now?
What I realized, so teaching lots of young people, but also talking across the country to Catholic leaders, executives, and so on, that a lot of people are living life in a much more difficult way than they need to be, because the virtues, the super habits, actually make life easier, because they make what we should do and the way we should be habitual. So the virtue of courage or fortitude is the habit of moving forward even though you might be afraid or anxious. If it's a habit, it's easier to move forward even though you might be afraid or anxious. But if it's not, if it's not a habit, it's a struggle for you. So we have all these struggles in life, everybody, that could be in significant way taken away if you grow in virtue. And I thought, we need to just get this message back to people, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I don't want you to give it all away, because I know you want people to read the book, but can you give us some examples of maybe what a super habit is?
Yeah, so the book starts out with several chapters on the different super habits of self-discipline. So a lot of people struggle with self-discipline. So they start out with restraint, which is the habit of saying no to things, to desires of yours that make no sense, you know? So we all have desires, and you don't want to stifle those desires, but what you want to do is recognize them, accept them, and only say yes to a desire when it's rational, when it's a good thing to do. You might be online and you see a thing that you want to buy. Instead of just buying it right away, the super habit of restraint says, no, wait, maybe I put it on a wish list, or maybe I just count to 10 and see if I still want it, you know? The key thing is, starting with really tiny steps is how you build each of these super habits, which is how you build each of these virtues. You know, virtues are not things that kind of you have or you don't. They're things that anybody can acquire, taking little steps. A line I use in the book a number of times is beginning is winning.
Yeah.
Just merely taking the first step.
Absolutely. So. I mean, you can look at the whole staircase, but it starts with one step.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
And I also know you talk about St. Thomas Aquinas in this book.
Yes, I do. Because I wanted to make sure that what I was sharing was true. And so what I do is I take Thomas Aquinas' entire treatise of the virtues, and then I combine it with modern positive psychology, which is empirical evidence where they study the different virtues. issues and find that Aquinas was right on everything, you know, which is really cool. So you've got the science and the philosophy. You put them together. And then I wrote it as a in the style of a self-help book. So a lot of fun and interesting stories so that it'd be fun to read while learning St. Thomas's kind of whole framework of virtues, which isn't just a list. Can I just show a quick thing?
Sure.
So this every book comes with this. I had so much fun designing this. This is a visualization of St. Thomas's treatise on the virtues. Now, if you read that, it's over 100 pages.
That's wonderful. And we boiled it down to... hold it up right there to that.
There you go. We boiled it down to just this one one big page. And this poster comes with every book, along with a QR code for an app, the Super Habits app, that gives you a diagnostic of kind of how you're doing on each of the virtues. There are over 40 of them that Aquinas talks about that I write about. And then it has an AI coach. It's all free. It's kind of included with the book. An AI coach that texts you every day to remind you to practice the virtue you've chosen.
So where can folks find this book?
So wherever books are sold, so on the website of the publisher, Sophia Press, or on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and so on.
Well, Dr. Bella, thank you so much for coming on. Congratulations with the book, and God bless you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Finally, tonight, NASA selects two middle schools for a rare, exciting program, and one of them is a Catholic school. Students at St. Mary's School in the Richmond Diocese were selected for this year's Human Exploration Rover Challenge. In the program, students pitch engineering designs for a lunar vehicle. Students from St. Mary's will eventually take their rover for testing at the U.S. Space and Rocket Center in Alabama. This is the first time the challenge is open to middle schoolers. And congratulations, and God bless them. And we thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Tracy Sable. Good night, and God bless.